Welcome back to Endurance Planet's Week of Kona, where we're bringing you the latest and greatest from the Big Island. This is your host, Tawny Prazak, and it's the day after the race. A lot more calm, but still a lot of energy, and I have another cool interview for you guys today. A little background first. So when you're in Kona, everyone sort of becomes family. You're in this together, whether you're racing it, spectating, volunteering, whatever it may be. And in many cases, that also includes the people that you end up staying with. This week, I was actually lucky enough to share a condo with several folks, most of whom I'd be meeting for the first time. We had a sports medicine doctor who was volunteering, a coach who had an athlete racing, one of my friends who's raced Kona twice, and last but not least, a pro triathlete who is racing Kona for the first time. And that actually brings me to today's show. That pro who raced is Pedro Gomez, and he ended up having a stellar first showing in Kona, finishing 26th. So today, the day after the race, I sat down with Pedro to talk about his experience, what he did to get to Kona this year, his nutrition, race strategy, thoughts on hanging out in Kona, and much more. Enjoy the show. Hi, folks. I'm here with Pedro Gomez. We are the day after the Ironman World Championships. And actually, Pedro is sitting here in front of me wearing his Normatec recovery boots. Pedro, how you doing?
Pretty well. Like, the Normatecs surely help after a race. So, feeling good.
How many times have you used a Normatec since you finished the race yesterday?
This is my second time, actually, but I do it like 30-minute cycles just because I want to make sure I'm not doing more harm than good. But they surely help recovery. It's definitely better than an ice bath and more comfortable.
Yeah. So yesterday was your debut at the Ironman World Championships, where you had a fabulous race, finishing 26th overall. In a nutshell, how was your experience?
It was definitely one to remember. Like, I've seen this race like 3 times already. This is my 4th time in Hawaii, first time racing. I've seen the race on TV, and actually being out there on the lava fields, it was pretty joyful. And I'm really happy with the way things went on during the day. Looking back now, I probably went too conservative, because this is one of those races where you can't just take risks and not think what's going on the marathon, because no one knows Kona as being a cool race. So I just tried to keep it conservative, don't make any hydration or nutritional mistakes, and just survive and endure what was a really tough day. Like, people are saying that's been like, it was one of the hardest races of recent years. So mm-hmm. I'm glad I finished, and I'll be back for more.
So before we talk about more specifically about your race yesterday, let's talk about how you were able to even get the points to make it to Kona this year compared to previous years. First off, how long have you actually been a pro triathlete?
Actually, racing long this Ironman and distance events, my first Ironman was late 2010, so mm-hmm. Ironman's, it's been only like 2 years, so I have a few years in hand, so I have still a lot to learn. So the process was hard, just because the rankings, if you're not racing Kona the previous year, You have a lot of athletes have a head start on the rankings, and you have to. I had to race 3 times in the U.S. To Kona. So I set up with a 10th place finish in Texas early in the year. I think my coach Jesse didn't want me to get to the final preparation to Kona too beat up by training, so we started slow. The race in Texas was conservative and enough for 10th place. Then I head towards Austria, where I had a great race. I finished on the podium, only beat by Ferris and Daniel Fontana. And I really had a solid performance there. It gave me a ton of points. But it was not enough. I had to go to the US Pro Championship in New York, the inaugural Ironman New York. I finished 8th there. It was kind of a late decision. The training was heading already towards Kona. So it was another solid day. I think I had a great season to make it to Kona. And to race as I did yesterday, it only makes me happy and look forward for the upcoming years.
What have you done differently in your training this year to not only get the points for Kona, but you've done now 4 Ironmans and have done very well at all of them? Has there been big changes in your 2012 versus your previous couple of years?
Well, definitely. I come from ITU background, so until 2010, all training was not exactly directed to Ironman. It was mostly ITU and half Ironman racing. So after my debut in Ironman Florida in 2010, I kind of changed a bit the way training. I had an off 2011. It was full of injuries. I went for the wrong coach early in the year, so I'll call it off year. But once I got hooked with Jesse from KTG Systems, we started to work mentally to get me back in the game. So he certainly knows what he's doing. And so all the training was directly towards Kona and to just get me back in the game mentally, that is. So the training now is more towards long distance, and that surely will pay off in like a few years, I'm sure.
Can you say QT2 10 times fast? Try it. Just kidding. And that was your mantra during the race yesterday, right? I'm just kidding.
No. My, what did you call it?
Your mantra. You're kind of what you say over and over to kind of help get you through it.
What I said over and over, on the back of my head, I had my coach Jesse screaming out loud, "Be conservative, keep cool, don't get caught in the moment, don't go too fast too soon." And when I realized I actually was on a race, I was coming down Palani and with a mile to go. But it was fun. It was a good race.
So what would you say in Ironman distance right now is your strength between swimming, biking, and running?
I still think running off a long bike is still my strength. So I would call the marathon my strength. But
and what did you run yesterday?
I ran 3:02, so it was definitely not my best, but I mean,
what is your best?
My debut Ironman in Florida was sub 2:50, so I went 2:48 something. Mm-hmm. That was definitely my breakthrough performance, and still to date my best. But coming off 2011 full of injuries and broken bones, and I can't complain. So I'll slowly get back to it, and I'm looking forward to 2013.
So you came to Kona roughly a month before the race to just be out here and train and engulf yourself in the environment, the humidity, the weather, all of that. Do you think that played to your advantage come race day?
Definitely paid to my advantage. Along with my coach, we had the goal of coming early to acclimate to the weather here. getting used to the course, know the course, and it definitely paid out on race day. I knew exactly how many miles I had left, how many miles I was into the race. I had like visual markers on the bike, so I was comfortable all day, felt really in control, and mostly because I knew where I was going. Maybe too conservative, but that's the thing you all think after the race.
Speaking of that, so you said that Jesse said go a little conservative. Was there a point where Jesse said, all right, you've reached, you know, mile 20 on the run or something, lay down the hammer and go for it the last 6 miles? Or do you think maybe he'll say that to you next year? And what, did he have the same advice for your previous Ironmans, or was he taking more conservative approach just for Kona?
It was definitely a more conservative approach, considering the race here is always hot as hell and and windy. We all know Kona is hot and windy. But it's funny that one of the pre-race favorites, Jordan Rapp, on the pro panel the day before, said something like, I'll first try... He also had his first race here yesterday. So he said something like, I'll first... endure the day until with the swim bike, run until the mile 20 marker, and then I'll start to think maybe I can pick it up the pace. And when I talked to Jesse on the night before the race, we went over the subject, and Jordan was spot on. That was, I think, the goal to a first timer is definitely make it all the way to miles 20 on the run and then go for it. But by the time I got to mile 20, I was coming back into town with a headwind and with like no one on the, a few guys on the horizon, but I was so far back then and I still had that thought in my mind. Don't get caught in a moment, just be conservative. And so I think that was the race strategy. I'll definitely come back next year with a better notion of what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Your nutrition plan is one where you actually, going into the race, you are pretty carb restricted to some degree. You know, you don't do gluten, grains, that sort of thing. And then come race day, you hit it pretty hard when it comes to the calories and carbohydrates. Do you find that your system has responded well to that process?
Well, definitely helps on race day. I mean, all my coach, Jesse, promotes, he's also founder of the Core Diet website that provides nutritional advice to endurance athletes, which is basically a diet where you restrain a lot of grains and keep them out of your daily life. But when it comes to training, you really fuel all training. So you hit hard on the carbs on during the training and on the hour prior, on the hour afterwards. So on, when it comes to race day, you're so used to doing that and that your body just deals really well with it. I never had any issue with like bloated gut or like just stomach issue. I never had it on race day just because you're so used to it. And on the day prior, you hit hard the carbs because you come somehow depleted to the 48 hours prior because you're missing all the carbs that usually people hit it with like pasta. And triathlete has that mind of, if I'm a triathlete, I have to have pasta every day or rice every day. But because I'm following the Core Diet, I don't have pasta every day. It's like my reserves are always like midterm level. So yeah. So hitting the carbs on the day prior, it's definitely something that will make you come to race day fully with like the tank full, mm-hmm, and ready to go.
Word on the street is you do like your donuts and cereals and all that, though. Is it hard for you to, I guess, for lack of a better word, restrict your diet on the day to day?
It was definitely difficult, I would say. Mostly because human beings are animals of habits. So if you're having a donut every other day, your body gets used to it. So to get on this diet, it's just hard on the first 2 week or maybe 2 weeks. But after that, you also get used to not having that sugar rush every once in a while. So you don't even feel the need to go back to that. Although we have a shit day, not shit, but cheat, shit. I'm European. I don't know how to pronounce it. You pronounce it. So you have a meal where you can go high.
Oh, you're trying to say cheat.
Cheat. I'm European. So there's a meal where you actually go hard on the carbs. You kind of like take your stomach out of misery, but it's not like I'm so used to not having it anymore, then I don't miss it. Mm-hmm. Although, like, on the day after the Ironman, on the day of the Ironman at night, I hit the donuts pretty hard. Yeah. And everything that's sugary, I hit it pretty hard.
Well, I'm staying with you randomly through our eclectic house of people here in Kona, and I've seen you eating a lot in the last, you know, ever since you finished the race, especially compared to what you were eating when I first arrived here earlier in the week.
Well, definitely. Like, although I don't feel like I came out of the race too depleted, I do feel the lack of need to get on the diet, so I'm just hungry and just go for whatever is in hand or whatever.
You have to let yourself just enjoy.
Yeah, just because you had a tough day, so you earned this few days of relax and just junk food and just sugar rushes every 15 minutes. So
take us through, like, 1 hour on the bike. What? Tell us your nutrition, like, exactly what you're eating. You're sponsored by Power Bar, right? So you're using their products. So, I mean, are you having just their gels, drinks? Tell us what you have in, like, 1 hour on the bike.
Yeah, Power Bar has been a sponsor for the KT2 Systems team, so they've been really helpful. And all the racing fuel plan goes along the Power Bar products because they are actually pretty good. The sodium content of the gels are pretty good, so we use them a lot. So on a regular, a normal day on the bike, on an Ironman bike, you do half a bar 30 minutes in, you do another half a bar an hour in, and then you go with like 30-minute periods where you have one gel and you drink a lot of fluids.
What fluids are you drinking?
Ironman Perform. That's okay. What you can get from Power Bar or on the race day. Mm-hmm. So you're drinking a lot, and every 30 minutes you're hitting a gel. So it's a cycle. It's half a bar, 1 hour in, three gels, so 2 hours and a half in, and you then go back to the Power Bar. Mm-hmm. So it's a cycle of two half bars, three gels, and again mm-hmm. until you get to T2.
And then what about the run?
Okay, so on the run, we use Cliff Lux.
You changed the Cliff products?
Silence.
That's fine. No one's gonna hurt you.
Yes.
Okay.
So Cliff Lux, we use one Cliff Lux. It kind of depends on the person. I'm relatively light, so maybe some of the athletes. So the racing plan, the fueling plan that Jesse and the core diet develops is towards the type of athlete we are dealing with. Mm-hmm. So I'm relatively light. So I only need one Cliff Lux every 2 miles, and I hit a gel every 45 minutes period. So I do in a 45 minutes, if I'm covering like 4 miles, I'll do one gel and two cliff blocks on that period and repeat. And you drink, we kind of try to skip the Coke, just because it has, although it has sugar, it has very low sodium content. And because you're racing an Ironman, you get depleted of sodium. So you hit the Ironman performer out on the course and just do gels from Power Bar and Cliff Blocks.
I saw that you had a few bottles of Pepsi or Coke sitting on the kitchen table open for a couple of days. When did you actually end up using those?
In Ironman Kona, you had 6 tables where the pros could leave their fluids.
We actually featured that on EndurancePlanet.com, a video of me at the first aid station yesterday.
Nice. The pros could leave their own bottles with whatever they wanted on the race course. And I feel like Coke, because it has so much sugar on it, it kind of brings you back to life if you're having a bad moment. So, however, because there's only like one or two opportunities to get Coke on an aid station, if I, for some reason, would miss one of the Cokes followed by Ironman perform on the aid station, I would grab my bottle on the pro fluids table, and because I always carry salts on the fuel belt, so I just always carry peel salts, and to compensate if I missed something on the aid station, I would grab Coke on my pro fluid table and have like a peel salt, so I could keep track, keep in the training, in the race fuel plan, steady on the carbs and the sodium.
So when you finally, you know, are making your way down Polani and making that final turn onto Elite Drive to finish the race, you said you've obviously been here before and witnessed the race and everything. What did it feel like to run down Elite for the final time and cross that finish line? Especially, you were actually, like, very close behind Mike Lovato, so you obviously knew that you were in a good position for the day. What was going through your head?
Two minds went through my head. One was that it was too, I had played too conservative all day, and it was not that much time left. I had a mile to go. The second thought was that this is actually a lot more fun doing the race than actually spectating. Like going through Alley Drive, the view you get from the athlete's perspective is a lot more fun than the spectators just see the athlete go by, and it's definitely rewarding to get to that line. And on my case, yesterday I actually saw Michael Lovato. I was like 15 minutes behind him on the finish shoot. But it was not like I was going to sprint him. He was enjoying his day, so I just got... Then I finally got caught in a moment, and I finally had, like, let it all go and just enjoy the moment. It was really nice.
Another question on the conservative thing. How do you define conservative, what you and Jesse discuss? Is it by your pace? I mean, are you looking at a Garmin, or is it by heart rate, or is it by perception of how you're feeling?
Jesse, I don't have power so on the bike, so it would... All day is based on heart rate. I train based on heart rate. And so my day was supposed to be based on heart rate. However, when I came out of the water, for some reason the heart rate was not working. I tried to move it a little bit, but it was not working. So most of the day, that's why I feel so that I went so slow. Just because I had no idea what was my heart rate, and I kept hearing like Jesse saying, play it safe, keep conservative. So I just went by feel, And when you have someone in the back of your head, like, screaming, go slow, go slow, you actually go slow, even if you're in a race.
Oh, man.
That's how I paced my race, just by feel all day.
So heart rate never ended up working for you?
Never ended up working.
So when you're training ever then, do you find that it's important to maybe wear your heart rate monitor and Garmin, but still learn what it's like to know what certain heart rates feel like without actually having to see that number?
Well, this was actually in 2000, and when I was racing mostly short course, you never really use heart rate. You go all out until it's all out from start to finish. When I started to race Ironman, I started to get like so used to race with heart rate. Then when it has been a while since this last happened to me. So I was doing a new course, a race that everyone says claims like being one of the hardest. And I had no way of knowing if I was going hard or just feeling too good. So it was a hard day for me to pace, just because I had no idea of how should I be feeling, should I feel afterwards. So it was hard.
Did you have pace, like a speedometer on the bike and your Garmin for your mile pace on the run?
Yeah, but it's Kona, and the crosswind was brutal. I was looking at the speedometer. It was like, okay, this feels tough, but I don't know if I should go faster. I don't know if this speed it should be happening right now, because on the previous 23 days I had been here, I never experienced such a hard day on Queen K. So it was ironic that on the day that the wind was really brutal on us, mm-hmm. I had no heart rate and I had no idea if I was going at a decent pace or not.
So are you going to go back to Jesse and say, like, hey, you know, in case this ever happens in the future, we need to have, like, sort of a plan B set out that we should practice in training or something like that?
No, I didn't think about that. But I talked to Jesse on race afternoon. And he was overall happy with the how the day unfolded and considering all this situation. And I'm not disappointed about the race. I'm excited to come back next year, and I'm excited that I have done my first race here, finished like solid, didn't die on the finish line. So I don't think there's gotta be a plan B. I just think I need to get a better, I don't know, heart rate.
Maybe we won't ask what kind of heart rate monitor you're using. It was kind of cool on my end getting to witness a pro triathlete in the days before the world's biggest event, you know, our Super Bowl is Kona and everything. One of the things I did notice about you was you were very casual and easygoing, and asking you a couple questions before the race, you always just were like, I'm just going to go out there and have fun. But, you know, you weren't saying that in like a sandbagging kind of way. It was like you genuinely seemed excited and ready to push yourself and suffer that's like the fun part of it. I mean, have you always had that sort of attitude and demeanor leading into big races like this?
I've been always. It's not my first year doing this, so and it's I actually race a lot during the year, so I go through so many races that you end up like getting used to it. If it's, of course, you get a little more nervous about the situation you're about to face, but it's a good nervous, not nervous. It's not being nervous, it's being anxious to go for it. Mm-hmm. You just want to get it started, you know, because after that, your body knows what it's doing. You just want to get to the line and just, to the starting line and just go. And from like a few years of racing, I think I'm just used to it. I don't get extremely nervous. I just do whatever I have to do and just be prepared to get on race day and lay it all down on the course.
So do you think about the other, like, the rest of the men's race going on playing into how you're racing at all? Do you let that, maybe not necessarily in Kona since it was your debut and you were, like you said, going conservatively, but even in other Ironmans, is what's going on in the front playing a factor into how you're pushing yourself?
I don't think I'm yet in a position where I can actually play tactics on race day. When I'm getting out of the water in front and biking in front or with a leak back and running for the victory, then I'll start to think about it. But since I'm, this is always a learning, will always be a learning process until I can actually be right up front, like disputing a big race like this. It's always, until then, it will always be my race. I do my thing. I focus on what I'm doing at the moment and just don't get caught in the moment. Just don't freak out if someone just blasts by you, because it's a long day. You have to be careful and don't go over, like, excited with the pacing and with the packs going by, because it's... at the end of the day, it's the individual sport. It's not a team sport. It's tactical on the bike, but at the end of the day, your own legs will still have to run that 26.2 miles. So
that said, then, after you finished the race and everything and you found out what went down with, you know, Pete Jacobs, Macca dropping out, Crowley not doing as well as maybe everyone expected, all the stories, were there any surprises to you, or what was, like, the biggest thing that sort of hit you as, like, wow, I can't believe that happened?
Well, definitely Pete Jacobs winning. I met Pete Jacobs a few years ago. We had the same homestay in New Hampshire. I was racing my first Alpha Ironman. He was coming into the scene. He was like 25 years old maybe, and he said to me a thing I'll never forget it's not about me, but he said something like, in a few years I will win Kona. And I thought to myself, yeah, right. Keep on dreaming.
Right.
It actually happened yesterday. I'm super happy for him because he's a super laid-back guy.
Yeah.
He's super nice. So that caught me a lot by surprise. And during the day, seeing how the things were unfolding, I caught a lot of the pre-race favorites on the bike. Just going backwards, that surprised me a lot, seeing Macca for just falling back, Michael Raylor just failing back, Luke Bell just failing back. I ended up getting back to Joe Gamble's right before T2, which was kind of surprising because those are the guys you look forward to see out there.
Yeah, I talked to Joe yesterday, and he said, I saw him walking up Polani while the race was still well into it, and he said that his glutes and he has some issues going on with his back where he just was on fire.
Well, it was definitely a hard day. I think overall, the guys that really were like had the time in their heads and really want to go fast on the bike and just have a great run, ended up like blowing up just because the bike was so hard. And the guys that actually just had in their mind just doing their own race and just going for a solid performance ended up doing really well. So it was I think it was a race worth of Kona. It was a world championship. It was definitely a hard race for everyone, and some did okay, some were probably just not prepared to face such a hard day.
Do you pay attention to the pro women's race going on? I mean, whenever you kind of cross paths or see one of them going by, and if so, I mean, we're on that end, did you see any surprises how that panned out?
Well, I actually didn't pay attention to what was going on in the women's race. I ended up seeing the finish line and seeing the last 2 miles of the women's race. It was definitely a surprise that Leander did this back-to-back wins at the 70.3 Worlds in Vegas and this one yesterday. And I always look forward to see how Kay Snow does, because she's coached by Jesse as well. So we've been kind of training partners for the last month or 23 days.
Were you afraid that she was going to potentially chick you on the run?
Potentially. She definitely has the potential to chick anyone on the run.
Right.
I think she was kind of disappointed. I mean, you can't be disappointed by being top 10 in the world on the World Championship, but because she was ninth last year, so she wanted to step it up this year. But it's like she beat a lot of girls that she never had beat before, so she had a really strong day. Mm-hmm. And I think overall, was compared to last year's race, I think overall both the men and the women's side were deeper. The field was deeper. I think there were more contenders to win it than in previous year.
Mm-hmm.
But it was definitely a surprise to see Leander do so well coming from a win in Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Lastly, since you've gotten to Kona and have been able to spend so much time here, what are some favorite, like, some things that you've discovered here that you've fallen in love with? Like, you know, for example, papaya salads at Thai restaurants.
Definitely papaya salads at Thai restaurants.
Introduced to you by yours truly.
That's something that I'll never forget. But, I love the lifestyle here. It's super laid back. People just wear flip-flops and board shorts every day. They just go to work with a button on the shirt untied. Put on. It's super laid back, but I don't think I would hold on in such a... I think people know, but it's a small town. It's not a big city as Chicago is.
No.
It's not LA for sure. And I would never. I'm a big city guy, so I would never live in Kona for more than a few months. But it's definitely a cool place to relax, a cool place to hang out on the beach, to snorkel, to do kayak, surfing, paddle surf, cliff jumping.
Yeah,
it's definitely a place to come and relax, and one of those places where you want to go and just do nothing.
Yeah. It's cool because, you know, you have your beautiful Kestrel bike that you race on here, but, you know, it's one of those places, too, on the flip side, as you and I both know very well this week, you have your little beater mountain bikes that you can cruise around, and in our case, we're using one that doesn't even have brakes.
Well, definitely, and I was talking to Tim Snow about that if I actually lived in Kona, I wouldn't own a car.
Yeah.
I would just have a bike, maybe a scooter, just because sometimes you don't feel like biking. But it's the bike is all you need. There's not many roads where you just ride your car. It's like Halihi Drive and Queen K. Those are the main roads around here. So it's definitely a lifestyle. You get used to it really easily.
Yeah. What's the name of that grocery store we really like, too, that has all the healthy, gluten-free, sugar-free peanut sauces and beets and everything that a triathlete would love on their menu?
And you mean awesome peanuts sauce?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called Island Naturals. It's right off town, behind Bike Works. So it's kind of a whole foods place. So it has all the natural stuff, organic stuff. It's not cheap, but it's...
No.
As someone at Kona Inn had on his front door, it says something like, it's expensive but worth it.
Yeah, I noticed the kombuchas there were like over $5, and I said, yeah, I'll wait till I get home.
Well, definitely. If you go to Whole Foods, you can spend a whole month of payment there.
Whole paycheck, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely.
That's what it is. Well, thank you, Pedro. It's been a pleasure picking your brain about the race. Congratulations on your debut at Ironman Kona. Super stoked to see you race so well and have such a great attitude about it.
Oh, my God. Will this be on TV? Thank you.
You're welcome. And that's going to do it for this edition of Endurance Planet's Week of Kona, featuring pro triathlete Pedro Gomez, who made his debut at the Ironman World Championships yesterday. Thank you for tuning in. This is your host, Tawny Prazak, wishing you success in all your training and racing.